The next case of the day is number 04-1130, Rhonda Moser against the Indiana Department of Corrections. Ms. Kozlowski.
Yes. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Susan Kozlowski, and I represent Rhonda Moser, the appellant in this case. She was the plaintiff below. Her claim is on Title VII, sexual discrimination, hostile work environment, and retaliation. Rhonda Moser, at the time of the events that led to her complaint, worked 20 years for the Department of Correction at a place that we'll call Camp Summit, a dedicated, loyal, trusted employee, a position of responsibility. She served as assistant to the superintendent. Superintendent is what we in Indiana call a warden in a prison. She worked for 20 years at this facility, successfully, flexibly, through their permeations from being a child, a youth camp, to a woman's facility and back to a youth camp. Successfully, satisfactorily, through a variety of superintendents. And so where did this 20-year career go wrong? And it was stopped in its tracks when she complained about sexual harassment. Sexual harassment at the hands of Dan Renee, who had started with the Department of Corrections in 1998, working at another facility, WTT, where sexual harassment complaints had been lodged against him, where he was pushed from WTT to Camp Summit because they couldn't handle him anymore because of the sexual harassment. This was not refuted by the defendants. Moser's superintendent, her supervisor at the time, Vern Lau, who wrote a glowing affidavit and submitted it to this court, did not know of the complaints against Mr. Renee before he agreed to take him. He says as an affidavit, if I knew, I never would have taken. And Moser complains. And Moser complains because Renee is harassing her. It is in mid-investigation that the superintendent at the time, Cecil Davis, is moved on, and in comes Linda Commons. Linda Commons is superintendent. Renee serves as assistant superintendent, serves as superintendent when the superintendent is gone, had a supervisor position many, many times over Rhonda Moser. Renee and Commons hit it off. They hit it off great. Within weeks of Renee and Commons getting together, Rhonda Moser, after a 20-year exemplary career, all of a sudden is disciplined for four pieces of nonsense. Disciplined for uttering an expletive at a machine. This in a prison where we have affidavits uncontroverted where the expletives and worse are uttered frequently. She's disciplined for another piece of nonsense, something that happened years before Linda Commons even came to work at Summit. They trumped her up. They disciplined her for something that occurred when Rhonda asked a co-worker about what went on in a confidential meeting when Commons admits that Moser had no way of knowing the meeting was confidential. And disciplined her because if they kept her on, they would have had to pay her at the additional rate for serving as the affirmative action coordinator. The district court below erred when it failed to recognize the numerous uncontroverted facts in favor of Rhonda Moser in support of her position. District court error. They said Rhonda failed to meet her legitimate expectation. The district court said that Rhonda only relied on her positive self-evaluation. That's not true. We've got 20 years of exemplary reviews, outstanding. We've got the affidavit from Vern Lau. We have evidence from testimony from Linda Commons. She had Rhonda Moser's replacement picked out before she ever had the pre-deprivation hearing. We have testimony from Commons that Rhonda Mosier did not know the issues that Linda Commons was looking at in her pre-deprivation hearing after which she was supposedly using to terminate or to issue this discipline, which resulted in a transfer. Linda Commons come in. Renee's in mid-investigation. Renee's complaining, oh, get him. Let's not get away with the harasser. Let's just get, instead of moving the harasser away like we did from WTT to Summit, let's just move the person complaining from Summit away. The district court also erred when they said that they did not find the harassment by Renee severe and pervasive. And, Your Honors, I have to respectfully suggest that when you read those affidavits, you blushed. The things that Renee said and the things that he did were vulgar and vile. Rhonda Mosier testified, it was terrible. It was every day. I was walking on eggs, constantly demeaning, every single time, every single day. All of those other people that complained in addition to Rhonda Mosier and were to believe that Renee behaved around everyone but her, that doesn't make any sense. The district court erred when it claims that Mosier did not raise the issue of interfering with her work performance in the hostile work environment argument. And, of course, we did, and that cited in the brief. We clearly stated in the brief below and then, of course, in this brief that Rhonda Mosier, her effectiveness was severely inhibited because of Renee's behavior. She had to take work home because she couldn't get it done. She had to interrupt her day because so many other females were coming into her office complaining about him. She had to walk on eggshells. She was nervous about him. She had health issues because of it. The stress was tremendous. And finally, Your Honor, on the retaliation claim, the court below added an element on the retaliation claim and required Rhonda Mosier to show that there was a similarly situated person for her to have her claim of retaliation. And I submit to the court that that is not an element, a required element of the retaliation. It may be in the sexual harassment or in the hostile work environment, but not in the retaliation. Nonetheless, even so, was similarly situated. Let's see what happened. She was discussing alcohol with a coworker, Patrick Cleary, a man. Rhonda's disciplined. What happens to Patrick Cleary? Depending on who you believe, either nothing or just a teeny tiny reprimand with no change in location of his employment. And we have affidavits that state alcohol, alcohol, alcohol all day long at work. Everybody talked about alcohol at work. It wasn't prohibited. No one else was ever disciplined. Similarly situated, what happened to Mr. Harville? A man, also working for Commons, when he misbehaved, sexual harassment again, he gets sent away to Colorado for a two-week trip to learn how to behave. And then there's complaints against him again. And what happens to him? Nothing. Similarly situated, Renee himself, also too subservient to Linda Commons. Complaint after complaint after complaint. The record is full of disciplines that were in Renee's file. And what happens to him? Well, he gets promoted. And as for similarly situated in the affirmative action coordinator job, every facility had to be affirmative action coordinator, had to have one. Linda Commons served as affirmative action coordinator at her facility, and she testified that she did not do the job as affirmative action coordinator because she didn't have time. Yet, she's disciplining Rhonda Mosier because Rhonda Mosier supposedly didn't do her job as affirmative action coordinator correctly. The district court said that Rhonda Mosher did not suffer an adverse employment. And clearly the case law that I've cited in there says that adverse employment situation does not have to be accompanied by a wage loss. Rhonda Mosher went from a job where she was important, she was vital, she worked with the kids, she worked with central office, she solved problems, she was important. And she gets transferred over to a training department at a bigger facility where all she does is shuffle papers. We have affidavits from the personnel at that new facility, people who would know, that state that with the discipline on your file, you're not going anywhere upwards. And at this facility, the opportunity for advancement for Rhonda Mosher is nothing. And if that's not
was
adverse...
Was the disciplinary letter that was placed in her file eventually removed?
It was eventually removed 5 months after they said it would be removed, but our affidavit from the personnel person at Westville indicates that if you've got a discipline and you came with a discipline and they know you came with a discipline, you're tainted. So that was the reality.
Whose affidavit is that?
Your Honor, I can't remember off the...
That's all right. We'll find it.
It's in there, though. And finally, the last point I'd like to make is the casual connection. Certainly, we have a timing issue. Rhonda Mosher works there 20 years, all different types of superintendents, different types of purposes for the facility, excellent reviews. And she complains about Renee. Bang, here comes Linda Commons. Renee and Commons, so tight. He squired her around the facility when it wasn't his job. She confided in him, and that wasn't his job. She had a sweet little voice for him. And here she likes Renee. Commons likes Renee. Let's get rid of Rhonda Mosher. This will all go away. Additionally, besides that time, the temporal connection, we have a pattern of supervisory animosity that's enough to infer causation. Linda Commons, from the outset, had Renee at her side, and she set Rhonda Mosher up to fail. By her own testimony, she did not include Rhonda Mosher in things that Rhonda Mosher needed to do her job. She did not talk to Rhonda Mosher. She did not let Rhonda Mosher participate in meetings that were essential to her job. Clearly, the supervisory animus is obvious, and it's enough to allow a jury to infer the casual connection. Rhonda Mosher has presented a myriad of facts supporting the severe and pervasiveness of Renee's conduct in her workplace, the fact that she complained. The district court did not look at those competing material facts in the light most favorable to Rhonda Mosher. I respectfully ask this court to reverse the decision of the district court and allow this case to go forward to jury. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Kozlowski. We'll hear now from Ms. Barrow.
May it please the court. The district court properly rejected all of Mrs. Mosher's claims. Regarding sex discrimination, the district court found in favor of the state solely for the reason that it found that she was not performing her job satisfactorily. When Linda Commons became the superintendent at Camp Summit, Mrs. Mosher was already under investigation by Jane Brown, who determined that she was not doing a good enough job as affirmative action coordinator and recommended to Linda Commons that these duties be taken away from Mrs. Mosher. In addition, other events occurred after Linda Commons arrived that, according to her idea of professional behavior, were not good enough. She used profanity. She questioned somebody coming out of a confidential meeting. She learned that she had contacted somebody's personal physician to suggest a form of treatment, that she had discussed with a correctional officer, having him come to her house for drinks later that evening in the hearing of the young people, that...
When you use the word students is used with respect to that allegation, was this a juvenile facility?
This was a boot camp for juvenile offenders. And Mr. Rone was the commander. He was in charge of the custodial aspects of the facility. These are the reasons that...
I believe her reply to the contact of the other employee's physician was that she had been directed to do that by...
She says that she was directed to do that. The evidence shows that this would have been Cecil Davis, who was the superintendent before Linda Commons came. There's no other evidence that occurred except for her statement that he directed her to. The evidence doesn't show that he was an especially hands-on HR person, that he didn't really want to hear complaints. He really didn't want to deal with these matters. The appraisals in the record of her performance, at least under Cecil Davis, are sort of cookie-cutter. Same every year, just Xerox and signed for the next year. This was not a man who seemed to really exert himself in personnel matters. If Mrs. Mosier had simply said to him, well, as affirmative action coordinator, I don't think it's appropriate to send this information to somebody's doctor, it's hard to imagine.
When was the information that she was directed to do so first brought to the attention of anybody?
This was first brought to the attention during Jane Brown's investigation. Mm-hmm. And this would have been in August of 2001.
And that's when she said that she had been directed to do that.
No, she said she had been directed to do that like a year, more than a year before, under the previous superintendent.
No, I want to know when she brought the direction to the attention.
She didn't bring that. She never did really bring that to the attention of Linda Commons. It was first raised, I believe, in the district court.
So it wasn't until you got to anybody got to trial before anybody heard about this direction.
That's correct. It was not something that Linda Commons had an opportunity to respond to. In Mrs. Mosher's opinion, these were absurd minor incidents, but she does not question the fact, she does not deny that these incidents took place, and she does not question Linda Commons' statements that she honestly believed that these were problems and that these were the bases for the actions she took. The plaintiff has to show that the reason proffered by the employee was a lie, that it was just a pretext, that it actually was untrue, and the facts do not support that in this case. With regard to her claim of a hostile work environment, she has...
Before we go there, if I may, where will I find in the record the comments of, I believe it's Ms. Brown, Jane Brown, about the less than professional work demeanor of the plaintiff here?
Well, there, Ms. Brown's deposition goes into that, and in addition, she provided a written report of her findings.
This is the report of the with respect to the Rone matter?
No, this was with respect to Mrs. Mosier.
So it's different than the report on Dan Rone.
What happened was...
I have that report in front of me, and I don't see those remarks here. That's why I asked.
Okay. And there might have been more than one report from Jane Brown.
There's reference to it on page 12 of your brief.
Yes. Another investigator named Willard Plank was investigating Dan Rone based on a formal complaint filed by Gloria Toady. It was in the process of questioning people, including Mrs. Mosier, that Mrs. Mosier's separate concerns came to light, and so Jane Brown started looking into that. Mm-hmm. But instead of substantiating her separate complaints to any significant degree, it highlighted some problems with Mrs. Mosier's own performance. Regarding a hostile work environment, Mrs. Mosier failed either the objective or subjective components of the Title VII test for this claim. What she complained about was that Rene told dirty jokes, that he was generally demeaning, that with her he commented on her appearance, that he just made inappropriate comments. She says that she does not say that he ever assaulted her, that he ever intimidated her. It appears that he actually liked her a lot, and that she just from time to time did not welcome the way he chose to express that. The facts of this case, when compared to other facts of this court where summary judgment was upheld, are very similar. We have offensive comments. We have offensive jokes. It's either objectively or subjectively, this does not rise to a claim of hostile work environment, plus the fact that she never did take the initiative to file a claim against Mr. Rone. She sent a letter to him in April of 2001 and just laid out the things that bothered her. He responded and indicated that he had some problems with her. And then she testified at her deposition that after that she did not experience sexual harassment from him. The evidence that she has given about his behavior at another facility, affidavits from other people who describe incidents that she was not a witness to, were properly found to be irrelevant. The district court did look at that evidence and held that this does not support her claim that she herself was subject to a hostile work environment. Moreover, she testified that she missed her job at Camp Summit. She thought about it. She felt nostalgia for that job. If it was such a hostile work environment, she obviously was conflicted about her experience while she was at the camp. But the agent of her unhappiness was not Dan Rone, it was Linda Commons, who came in as a new supervisor and was simply unhappy with her performance and also had a recommendation from someone else that a significant part of her job be taken away from her. With regard to retaliation, the state's brief starts out with a suggestion that she had not even engaged in statutorily protected conduct. That's one of the three things that she would have to show. Plus, there was an adverse employment action and a causal link. The Durkin case that the state's brief cites came out in 2003. It's a relatively recent case. Durkin suggests that there has to be a formal complaint process, that the plaintiff has to have initiated some kind of formal process instead of informally just verbally complaining about someone in the workplace. The plaintiff has to take this action knowing that some process is going to result, that there will be consequences. And what occurred here was just that in the course of investigating someone else's complaint, Mrs. Mosier's own problems came to light, and there was an investigator assigned to that, and that was Jane Brown. But this court, on the basis of Durkin, does have another basis on which to affirm, which is simply that there does not appear to have been statutorily protected conduct in the way of her filing a formal complaint against Rone. And she did testify more than once that she never did that. She did not suffer an adverse employment action. She testifies that if she had stayed at Camp Summit, she would have gotten a raise or she would have gotten an enhanced position. That is just her own speculation. Cecil Davis had intended for a number of his staff to increase their salaries, to upgrade their classifications. All of that was subject to a state hiring freeze. There was never a guarantee that she or anybody else would experience those benefits. And so what she is complaining about is simply that she is not as comfortable at Westville, she is not as happy, as fulfilled. The job description for what she did at Westville shows that it's a paraprofessional job with a wide range of duties. She testified that in a 12-month period at Westville, she reorganized the training department. She also got very good reviews from her supervisor. She said she respected her coworkers. that what she is complaining about is the fact that she simply didn't have the same comfort level that she had at Camp Summit. At Camp Summit, she was there for a long time. She knew people. She was given wide latitude by former superintendents to do what she wanted to do. Linda Commons comes in with a drastically different style. And in fact,
Now, you mentioned that the Camp Summit was a boot camp for what age?
It was a small facility for juvenile age, for I think up to 18. So these were youngsters, and this was something that she enjoyed, working with youngsters.
And Westville's
Westville is an adult facility. It's a huge facility. It's very different. As far as the causal connection's concerned, she said that she stopped experiencing harassment from Rone, that Rone never accused her of initiating any complaints. She doesn't even show that her presence at Camp Summit interfered with Rone doing his job and his apparent popularity with Linda Commons. In closing, I will say that this Mrs. Mosher is a state merit employee who was subject to an involuntary change in her classification. She didn't like it. If she ultimately prevails in this case, there are going to be consequences in the state of Indiana. We have a new governor elected on Tuesday who's going to take over in January, and he has a lot of ideas about how to organize state government, about the kind of people he wants to bring in. If new supervisors have to worry about lawsuits every time they decide that they want someone to work in a different facility, a different department, have different duties, then this court's going to be flooded with lawsuits. The district court made the correct decision in finding summary judgment for the state, and I ask this court to affirm.
Thank you, Ms. Barrow. Ms. Kozlowski, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honors. Counsel, I would hope that our new governor does not encourage his employees to overlook the laws of Title VII, and that he does not encourage this court or any other court or his superintendents to allow their employees to violate Title VII and to harass and retaliate against the employees. With regards to counsel's comment about the cookie cutter, I encourage the court to read the non-cookie cutter parts. Mosher has excellent interpersonal skills, keeps her head, continually looks for problems, positive attitude, enhances the morale, on and on, different things handwritten in by those cookie cutters. And regarding Cecil Davis being not a hands-on personnel guy, we agree. Rhonda Mosher did complain to Cecil Davis about Rene, and he didn't want to do anything. And, of course, there's affidavits in there that say, we keep our business and our facilities in-house. We don't take it downstate. And Cecil Davis says, well, just handle it your own way, so Rhonda Mosher wrote a letter. With regards to Linda Commons doing things her own way and that physician statement came to light because Rhonda Mosher happened to mention it. It was a thing of no moment. Linda Commons had no discussion with her, had no discussion with anyone else. Rhonda Mosher says, Cecil Davis told me to do it this way. Cecil Davis is still working for the state. He submitted an affidavit. He's the superintendent over at the ISP. He could have submitted an affidavit that said, I never told Rhonda Mosher to do that. I didn't know anything about it. He still works for the state. They knows where he is. There's no such affidavit. Those facts, as Rhonda Mosher said, that are uncontroverted, have to go in the light most favorable to Rhonda Mosher. In terms of the salary, yes.
Your time has expired.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Your Honors.
My thanks to both counsel. And the case will be taken under advisement.